Hi everybody, welcome to the May One Wealth Call. Our call team tonight is just me because Ann Henney and Sandy Thacker are both traveling and doing other things tonight. It's me and Mike Lippolito, and Barbara Nielsen is on as well, and she can help with some of the technical details. The agenda is listed, which brings us to our first announcement. I want to introduce one of our newest Wealth members from the San Francisco branch, Kim Irish, who has been serving with both the Development Committee and the Nominating Committee. Tonight, Kim is representing the Nominating Committee and has an announcement. So listen up, everybody. Kim, your mic is open.
Thank you so much, Mary Beth. And hi, everybody. It's really great to be here. So I have a quick announcement from the Nominating Committee. And it's that the Nominating Committee is organizing a conference call for members to interact with leadership on the board and the national committees. The theme of the call is going to be discovering our leadership, the leaders in wealth and the leadership within ourselves. On the call, the plan is to have leaders telling stories about their experiences and then talking about the qualities of successful leadership. Members are going to have the opportunity to tell their own stories of their leadership experiences or what qualities they have that make them effective in Wealth or other groups. So we want to get help members gain insight into what leadership in Wealth looks like and what the vision of it is. The plan is for it to be interactive, and there will be time for Q&A. And it's going to be chaired by Michaela Veruno, a practicum graduate, and the plan is for it to last for no more than 90 minutes. Our date and time for the call are Thursday, May 31st at 5:30 p.m. Pacific, 8:30 Eastern. And that's all I have. But I'm happy to, if there's any questions or concerns, please just let me know. I'm happy to answer whatever I can.
Thank you, Kim. Do people need to register especially for that call?
Oh, that's a great question. I think that's the plan, that we'll send something out for people to register. Yes. So look in your email for information about that.
Okay, good deal. Do other people have questions about the call or the announcement that Kim made? If you do, press number 1 on your phone keypad right now, and we'll call on you. And we'll give everybody a chance to do that. It's number 1 on your phone keypad if you have a question. Kim, can you repeat again the date and time of the call for us?
Yes, absolutely. It's Thursday, May 31st, and it will be at 5:30 p.m. Pacific, 8:30 p.m. Eastern.
Okay, great. Good deal. Thank you a lot, Kim.
And, thank you.
We're gonna move along pretty quickly now into the training portion of the call. The presentation that I'm about to give, I gave at the July 2017 Congress in Chicago, and we rushed through it on one of these calls as well, and I got lots of comments afterwards that I went way too fast and people wanted to hear more about it. So we're repeating it here, and since we have just one other announcement on the call, which is going to come later in the call. We have some time to move through this and allow people to really get into the material.
Mary Beth, not to interrupt you, but Betty Traynor has her hand up.
Oh, I'm sorry. Betty Traynor.
Well,
your mic is open.
Yeah, well, there were two things. I guess one was technical, but maybe I got it back. I completely lost the screen. You know, this is the first time it's happened. I just wondered if others lost the screen. I mean, I don't know on my computer, but something sort of started.
Yes, Michael was posting the webinar information, so he took down the text pad.
Yeah, okay. The other thing I have is I'm in the San Francisco branch, and I don't know Kim at all. So how, you know, is there a way we can connect?
Sure, the thing. I had trouble making it to meetings because I have another commitment when that's happened, but I would love to connect sometime.
Yeah, okay. So maybe offline we could connect.
Yeah, that sounds like a good plan.
I will send each of you each other's email information.
That was great. Okay, thanks a lot. All right, that's all. Thank you. Bye.
Okay. So moving back to the material at hand, this presentation is called Starting Over. It's really aimed at either starting a new branch or restarting a Wolf branch. And we're calling it Starting Over, and I refer here to the Cheers song, where everybody knows your name, and they're really glad you came. Go ahead, Michael. Next slide, please. So I want to talk just a little bit about the consequences of losing a Wolf branch. First of all, there's abandonment of decades.
Sorry to interrupt you. When people are observing the slide on the social webinar, there's on the right side of the screen, there's a slider that they can just click on. And if you want to scoot it down just a little bit, you'll see the whole slide. So if you, for example, losing a community, you might see the bottom cut off. You have to scroll down. You want to maximize your window, and you want to scroll down the slider just a hair so everybody can see the whole screen. If you don't know how to do that or need tech support, press number 5, and Barbara will take you into a breakout. Thank you. Sorry about that, Mary Beth. I just wanted everybody to see all the slides. Check.
Sure. Thanks, Michael. So the first consequence is abandonment of decades of organizing work. Our branches, many of them have been around for decades, and lots of women have poured their blood, sweat, and tears into making our branches established and strong. And if we lose that branch, it really negates all of the work that they put in. And walking away from a community identity that's been won over a long period of time and leaving the goodwill of members and donors as well. So we'd also be losing a community that we need, especially today when there are so many pressing issues. We'd be losing a community that could have continued to contribute to a progressive vision and to empowering women organizers for decades to come in that community. So it's a really important consideration. We know that Wolf US should be helping branches stay strong and vibrant with expansion planning, succession planning, recruitment planning, and annual planning for program and impact. And we haven't done much of that in the last few years. We're beginning, and I'll talk a little more later on about a new program. We're starting a pilot program that addresses these kinds of issues, and we're targeting first a relatively small number of branches as a pilot program, but this is important work that all branches should be thinking about and planning for. And whether you're part of our pilot program or not, these are things that really can help you expand your capacity and build your resilience as a branch. Go ahead, Michael. So recruiting planning should be built into your annual branch planning and your annual calendar of events. It's not something that just happens on its own. Recruiting, our branches tell us, is something that gets done in the background and often doesn't get done at all. When I did the 2015 branch survey, I asked every branch what they do for recruiting, and almost no one that I spoke to had a plan of action for recruiting. So it may not be such a big surprise that we haven't been doing very effective recruiting for the last few years. Recruiting has to be a careful and persistent strategy that you pursue and to which you designate resources. And those resources can be a person who gets put in the role of focusing on and planning for recruiting, or it could be a piece of your treasury that you dedicate to social events that that allow you to attract the public. Either way, recruiting in wealth is everyone's job. Even if you have a recruiting chair, which branches should all have, and even if you don't, everyone's job is recruiting. It's a mistake not to have a designated recruiting committee or a member tasked specifically with planned strategic recruiting. And everyone needs to really be thinking all the time in their social interactions at church, at work, in their faith community, in other organizations they belong to, about who would be a potential wealth member and how do I invite them to participate. So I wanted to talk a bit about a case study of a group that I put together in Cedar Rapids, Iowa. And in a year, we went from no members to about 200 active and engaged women members. And these were women who had never been politically active, women who were not used to being activists, women who had been largely invisible in their community before. So how did we go from zero to 200 people in that first year? Well, timing was critical. It was a unique time. 9/11 had just happened. People were feeling fearful and nervous. They felt helpless. And the nation seemed headed towards an uncertain future. People who were advocating peace were being discredited and disrespected. And many people told us that they felt unsafe to talk about peace in any setting in their lives, even among their own family members. So there were some valuable lessons that we learned when we started this group. Some of the tactics that made all the difference. And if we look at what they were, what they included, and how it worked, they may help us when we try to start or restart a wealth branch. People were being told that patriotism meant that all Americans had to be for a war and for the military. Divisions were growing. Anyone not flying an American flag was questioned, if you remember that. Anxiety was high, and the war seemed inevitable. People were afraid to speak about peace. In other words, it was a lot like right now. That year, the American Friends Service Committee brought in a representative from South Korea to talk about their concerns about nuclear issues on the Korean Peninsula. And I picked her up and took her to several towns in Iowa. And at one of the points, I also had to pick up my daughter at home and deliver her somewhere. So I did, and when I pulled into our street, the lady from South Korea remarked about all of the American flags flying on that street, and she said, are all of these buildings United States embassies? They were all just private homes. I said, no. There's just a whole lot of pressure on right now to fly the American flag. It's been a crazy 17 years, and it doesn't seem to be getting any better. But what it does do is create an opportunity for us to talk to women about what their hopes and fears are and where they feel safe enough to talk about them, to create a space that's safe enough for them to talk about. So tactic one, in times of great uncertainty and fear, start with comfort. We started with tea. We held a solidarity. I was new in town. I knew nobody. So I went to the local Catholic Franciscan Spirituality Center and met with the head nun there and told her that I felt strongly that there were people, women like me in town, who must be as uncomfortable as I was with the messages that government was sending out. But there was literally no safe space to be able to talk about that. And I wanted us very much to create that kind of space where talking about peace was not only acceptable, but encouraged. We put us in touch with 11 other women, 6 Muslim women, and 6 Christian women, well, 5 Christian women besides me. Sea Rapids, Iowa, little known fact is that they are one of the largest Muslim populations in the Midwest and in the country, really. So because of the connections that the Catholic Sisters had with the Muslim women group, they were able to make an introduction for us. And we started with those 12 women. And what we asked them to do was not to talk about bombs and war and stopping war and all of that. We asked them to put together with us a social event that was centered around comfort and talking about peace and encouraging people to talk about their feelings about peace. So the Muslim women cooked, and we designed the program. And over the course of about 3 months, we each used whatever connections we had in the community to beat the bushes to turn people out for that event. There were over 200 people that finally showed up for that event. And those original 12 women that started planning the event, they told us, many of them right from the beginning, that that was the extent of their commitment. They just wanted to help us plan this one event. And that's what they did. Some of them stayed on, but many of them didn't. The important thing was we asked them to use their community identity, their connections, their credibility to turn people out for this event. And then it was up to us to make the most of that event. And what we did in that solidarity was we had 2 choirs sing, we had people read poetry, we had Muslim women show us how they fixed their veils, their scarves, because it was a curiosity to us how they got their scarves to stick without moving in the wind. They showed us, they demonstrated that for us. A children's choir performed. An actor read a portion of a speech by Martin Luther King. And at the end of that, we asked people to come to the microphone and express their worries and hopes about peace in our country. And it was very empowering to let people speak safely in a safe space about what their concerns were, their fears, and their hopes. At the end of the event, we announced a date certain for our first foundational meeting of a group we called Women for Peace. And we set up a sign-up sheet and asked people if they were interested to give us their contact information, and we would remind them when the meeting was. And we thought we might get, out of those 200 and some people, we thought we might get 5 or 10 people to show up at this meeting. When we held the meeting, we ended up getting about 15 or 20 women to show up. In every meeting we held after that, more women came. We always made space for them to talk about what they were facing. Because it was, I know you all remember this, it was a very dangerous time to be a peace person. The slogan that was going around was, it's dangerous to be right when your government is wrong. So, next slide, Michael. What we did with that tea is we attempted to engage the middle ground, to draw people who were not yet comfortable with activism, but who felt called to do something. When you hold an event like that, you don't need to put a lot of effort into connecting with the peace activists in your community or the extremely active social organizers. They're going to show up. Where you need to put your energy and step out of your comfort zone a little bit is to speak to and invite women who are not really part of the group of usual suspects that we talk to. Women that you sit next to in your church or mosque or synagogue. Women that you work with. Women that you play cards with. Women that you talk with at the social gatherings. That's not as easy as talking to people you know who already think as you do. But it's the only way we're really going to enlarge the circle. Next slide, Michael. So the next tactic is to ask for help. Don't go it alone. You remember I told you that when I got to that town, I didn't know anybody. If I had planned an event all by myself, guess how many people would have shown up? Even if you have the ability to plan an event on your own, and even if you have quite a number of personal contacts, resist the urge. The more people that you encourage to join your planning committee, the more capacity, resilience, and outreach you will gain. Even if they don't stay with the organization, they will have heard about it, they will have met you, they will have understood what it is you're trying to do, and they'll also have a feeling that you're a credible person. And that's kind of hard to replicate. And for me, in that community, I had no credibility. That's why I started with the nuns, and then we went to the committee of 12 women. And that was really, those women worked really hard and use their personal contacts to turn out a lot of people. That was all we asked them to do. Plan the event and help us turn out people. But the impact of that long term was well beyond those 12 women. Go ahead, Michael. Next slide. So gather a small group of like-minded women who share your vision and want to make a difference. If you're a new branch, start with that. If you're a branch who's been around for a while, pretend you're new. Think about it as, we already know we have our current members. Where would we go to get people who've never heard about WELF and who need to? Look for community connectors. Malcolm Gladwell, in one of his books, talked about people who are connectors. And those are the kind of people, you know who they are. They're the woman in every group who knows everybody. When she walks into the room, everyone knows her name, and she knows everyone's name. Look for someone like that and actively recruit them, not necessarily to your branch, but to help you plan an event and invite people. This is your initial planning committee, these community connectors. They may not stay involved, and that's okay, but they will bring their contacts their credentials and energy to a first critical gathering event. Go ahead, Michael, next. Well, 12 women formed that original committee. We came up with an idea of comfort, a social event, a tea, and each woman committed to the event to push invitations, make contacts, and help shape the event. They had input into the program, and they committed to bring people out to it. Next, Michael. To underscore our community connections, they engage with a lot of locally established groups. These are groups that you probably have some of in your community. You may even have long connections with them. But have you really exploited them to their maximum benefit of wealth? When was the last time you met with them just to find out and compare notes about what each of your groups are doing? The social outreach of many churches and faith communities in town are a great way to spread the word. They all have newsletters and bulletins. So ask them to promote the event. If it's enough about the general concept of peace, without getting into the details, you'll have a lot more luck in getting people to show up, especially if you stress the social component. Next slide, Michael. What allies could you connect with and build on? Think outside of the peace and justice community to the social fabric of your town. What groups exist there? I'm here in New Jersey, and I know that here in New Jersey there are women's clubs, there are men's clubs, there are social activist organizations, there are family and children's charities, there are women's empowerment organizations. So which organizations do people automatically recognize and trust? Start there. Go visit them. Tell them what your plan is for this event. Ask them to be on the planning committee. If they won't be on the planning committee, ask them to help you spread the word and invite people. Next slide, Michael. Your success depends on your ability and willingness to use your own personal contact. I'm betting that there are WILF members in your branch or women in your circle who know a lot of other women, but they never talk about peace with them. They never talk about politics. They never talk about WILF. There are a whole lot of reasons why that might happen, but I'm betting it happens. So step out of your comfort zone and use your personal relationships to build trust and credibility, especially if you've lived in that community for a long time. You have the kind of recognizable credibility that I didn't have when I moved into that town. So consider if you're using it as well as you might. Your personal relationships you can talk to people in your circle about a common hope for peace. You can talk about WILF being a woman-led organization. You can talk about it, the international connections and national reach that we have. You can talk about supporting and empowering emerging women organizers. These are things that make WILF unique among other organizations. And what I like to tell people, too, is that we're so much more than just a virtual organization. The fact that we meet regularly We get to know one another. We support each other. That's something that organizations that are just virtual, that declare, we're all going to meet for an hour in front of City Hall on Tuesday. And people show up, hold signs for an hour, and they never see each other again. You know, wealth has way much more going for it than that. And if people, especially young people, aren't aware of the benefits of that, well, we need to talk to them about why it's important. Next slide, Michael. So timing is critical. Begin at least 3 months before you plan an event like this. 5 months is better. And again, I stress, try and make it not quite as pointed and political and detail-oriented as we usually do. We're all about education and informing people. But especially when you're dealing with people who are not familiar with the peace movement or organizing tactics, you have to meet them where they live. So try to talk more generally about the benefits of peace and what it could mean for our society. What services could we invest in if we weren't paying for so much of a military budget? So you're making a personal ask and building a relation of trust, and you're forging an alliance that will withstand outside attack. This is not the kind of ask that you make over email. It's better to make it by phone, but so much better to meet in person. You're asking somebody to invest your time and feel like they can reveal themselves about where they are on issues that can be controversial. Meet in person, invest time in the relationship, and convince them about why you're a member of WELF and what makes you stay active in the organization and engage. Talk about the women that you've met in WELF. Talk about the kind of dedication and commitment that they've exhibited over decades and what that has meant for you. Use your social networks rooted in the community to forge the roots of a new or restarted WELF branch. If you're a new branch, just starting out, and you don't have the examples right there in that community of women in WELF who've worked that hard and that long and invested so much, talk to us because we have plenty of examples to share with you. Next slide, Michael. So only after you've approached the larger community, not the usual suspects, then go to the usual suspects. And there's a whole list of them there, and I'm betting you could add a bunch more. We have gathered natural allies over our history. Look for them in your community. If you've already known them and worked with them in the past, when was the last time you sat down and talked to them? But again, these are folks who almost always support your activities. Go to the wider community first. It's going to take you longer to get those people on board. Next slide, Michael. Partner with another branch, especially if you're a new starting out branch, or if you're just a very fragile branch right now for any number of reasons. Contact another branch in your state or across the country to ask them for their help. Maybe you could plan the same event in two different places and learn from each other what made it work. Chances are they're experiencing many of the same problems, and you can exchange advice and tactics that work for you. Our branch directory is on the website, and by the way, many of our branches are represented on this call. Next slide, Michael. Okay, so this is a tactic that we don't really think about. The most popular form of recruiting at will is also the least effective. Cabling is not abling. Cabling to get in front of new people is probably the most passive way to recruit people. Even when you do it well, and many of us don't, it puts the responsibility on the new person to remain in contact with you. Even when we collect signatures at sign-in tables, we are often either too busy or too distracted, despite our best intentions, to contact people in a timely way who've signed up. That means by the time we get around to contacting them, their email may have changed, their phone number may have changed, somebody else may have convinced them to join another group instead. Next slide, Michael. Once you have a recruiting committee or a member assigned to recruiting, you need to build a recruiting strategy. So schedule one or more meet and greets a year as a separate social event, not part of your work or meeting schedule. Follow planning steps to make these successful. Next slide, Michael. So in Des Moines, the Wilf branch had our most successful recruiting when we held 2 meet and greets a year. The branch invited everyone who had signed in at an event or whom they had ever talked to about Wilf. That means we had to get names from all of our members. We had to say, who have you ever approached about Wilf who said they might be interested? They were too busy at the time. We developed that list and we did it faithfully for a few years. One member took on the responsibility for planning and scheduling. They scheduled the social event and all of our members were required to attend. And we really encouraged them to bring a new person with them. The branch grew tremendously during the two years or so that we did these regular meet and greets. And as soon as we stopped doing it and returned to not scheduling them separately from our meetings and holiday parties, our pipeline to new members completely dried up. Next slide. So how do meet and greets work? You meet at a public location. A library or coffee shop works great. If you have in your town some new hotspot that people are dying to try or that is a little bit more upbeat than what has been there before, try there. Serve some beverages and food if it's a private place, or make arrangements for the bar or restaurant to have some kind of bar nuts or peanuts or something like that, put out chips. Even if it's just punch and cookies in the library, it's really important to serve food of some kind because it makes people feel that this is a social event, not a business meeting. Require your members to show up and be welcoming. Many of our branches have been meeting together for so long that they've gotten pretty used to each other. When new people show up, they can pick that up right away. And it's very easy for us to stay in our little group and not stand up, go over, and introduce ourselves to that new person. If you put yourself in that person's shoes and you walk into a room that feels like these women have been meeting together and socializing together and talking together for years, and you're a complete outsider, you're not going to feel like you fit. Ask your members when they come to bring along a prospective member, anybody they know who might be more interested in learning about what they do in wealth. But even if they don't bring anyone, require them to come. Go around and introduce everyone, and then have each of your members discuss when they joined Wealth and why. What activist women inspires them? What Wealth issue they're most passionate about? When we did this on a regular basis, the women who visited our branch learned a lot about our organization without having to really preach at them about it. And even more interestingly, we, Wolf members, who had been working together on projects for years, learned more about each other, what inspired us and what got us moving, and what ways we felt supported by each other. Next slide, Michael. We're always so busy in Wealth, and we're very focused, and you know, we have a plan and we're moving from point A to point B and we're ticking off all the checkbox all the way along. But frequently we forget to share what parts of our lives inspire us, what challenges we face. So meet and greets can be important to build relationships within your branch too, especially if it's a new branch starting out. This is one of the advantages that a non-virtual organization offers people. But if we don't build that into our process, we're not taking advantage of that. Next slide, Michael. Plan at least one meet and greet a year. Two is better. Schedule it on your calendar and make sure that people know well ahead of time that when it is, where it is, and that they're expected to come. Ask them to bring someone who doesn't know anything about wealth, someone who's interested in progressive issues and might want to figure out how to get more active. Even if they don't end up joining Wealth, they have learned an important lesson about who we are. And the next time they talk to a woman who is voicing her worry or concern about the world and saying, I wish there was something I could do, they're more likely to say, have you heard about Wealth? Send meeting reminders to new attendees at these meet and greets for at least a year afterwards, because we're all busy. We tend to forget, but if you keep reminding them, when I moved to Des Moines, the local Wolf branch pursued me actively. One of the members called me every month before the meeting and said, are you able to make it this month? She pretty much shamed me into showing up, and I was really glad I did. But she would call me and say, you know, the meeting is on Tuesday at 6. Can I pick you up ahead of time for coffee? Would you like to have a quick sandwich before we go? Do you need to bring your daughter along? She's more than welcome to come. So these are ways to reach out that are bigger than just an email reminder. Go ahead, Michael. All right, so I'm going to review now the idea of a smart business card. This is a mutual means of following up on contacts. Most of us in Wolf don't have business cards. And we should, because wherever we go, we should be able to talk about Wolf and leave something behind in case people want to ask us about it later. So smart business cards go an extra step. They're memorable, transactional, and they allow follow-up with prospects in a timely way. Next card, Michael. So a regular business card has one or two sides. It normally has your name, the name of your organization, your contact information, a Wilf logo possibly, and it should, of course, have our website on there. Side two of a regular business card might have the full name of Wilf, Women's International League for Peace and Freedom, U.S. Section. It might have a little elevator speech in a one-sentence summary. You can pick your own. The one I usually use is this, connecting human rights and economic justice to the roots of war since 1915. You should have on it the day and time and location of your regular branch meeting. So that's a regular business card in maximizing both sides of it. Next card, Michael. A smart business card has four sides instead of two. One fold, it creates four sides. Next card, Michael. On side one, again, there's the logo, your name, your contact information, and the Wilf website. On side two, you could have Wilf's full name, the elevator speech, your meeting location, time, and date. On side three, in side four, there are blanks. What do you put on there? Next slide, Michael. Go back to the other one, I'm sorry. So on side three and four, they're blank because what happens is you're going to tear the card at the fold. You're going to give the person that you're talking to your card, but you're also going to ask them for their contact information. On side three, you're going to write their name, their email, your phone number. And on side four, you're going to make a note so you remember 2 weeks from now when you find this card in your purse who these people were. You're going to say, Doris is the tall redhead I met at the grocery store on Wednesday the 5th. She said she's interested in disarmament, or she's interested in the environment. Or she has a son who's being actively recruited by the military in his high school, and she's mad about it. That's the kind of information that you want, because next time you contact Doris, you want to be able to say to her, we met at the grocery store on May 4th, and you were telling me about such and such. And we talked about Wilf. I just want to follow up with you because our next meeting is coming up and I wanted to invite you to come. That's why this is a smart business card. It's transactional in that you give her your information and you take down her information right away. You don't wait for her to contact you. You have the means at hand to follow up with her. Next card, Michael. So persistence. When Maggie Rollins asked me to join the Des Moines branch, I was really busy. I had just moved to town again, new town. I had a daughter starting in a new school. I had a new job. I really didn't have any time. But she did not give up the first time I said no. She asked me more often. So ask people more often. Remind them one last time. Call the day before the event or meeting and say, no, I know you said you were busy. I just wanted to remind you the meeting is on Tuesday. And if you're interested, I wanted you to have it top of mind. Go out of your way. People appreciate that. offer rides to meetings, offer them to bring the kids, offer to meet beforehand. Meeting face-to-face creates relationship, and relationship is what sets Wilf apart. Next slide, Michael. Okay, so this is about the smart card again. Remember, you're writing on slide 3, the person's name, address, phone, email, and on slide 4, the details, the clues to remember them by. You might say, Doris was wearing a pretty flower on her dress. Anything that it takes so that in 2 weeks when you look at this, you remember something about her. Next card. So how do you do that? How do you move from, yes, what's happening in Washington is awful, to, well, we need to talk some more about this. Well, how about this? Hey, you know, I really enjoyed talking to you about this. I got to run now, but here's my card. If you wouldn't mind, I'd like to continue the dialogue sometime over coffee. Could you give me your email and phone so we can stay in touch? Now you both have a way to remain in touch. It empowers both of you to continue the dialogue you started. So, next slide, Michael. People are busy. There are lots of distractions. They meant to come to your event or meeting, but life got in the way. It's so easy for us to assume that they're just not interested. That may not be the case at all. So be persistent. Next slide. After you've made initial contact, maintain a list of active prospects. Add them to your email list as friends of the branch. They're not members, but they're friends of the branch. People that you want to kind of keep in the loop. You want to get word out to them of your event. You want to keep inviting them to come to meetings. Schedule follow-up calls. Invite them over and over to events. Timing matters. They might be swamped in November, but they might be ready to get involved in April. They might be motivated by some horrendous event coming out of the White House. How about, can you believe they canceled the Iran nuclear deal? After they've attended an event or meeting, call to ask them what they thought. Don't just think, well, if she's interested, we'll see her at next month's meeting. No. Try to make contact in between the meeting, so that she feels like it's not completely up to her to keep coming back. Ask them what they thought about the meeting, things that were discussed, and you could even try to do that in person over coffee. Next slide, Michael. Here's an idea. What if you hired for your branch the skills you need, even if it's outside of Wilf? So what if you interviewed prospective members the skills you need? Who do you know, in or out of Wilf, who already has the skills that would be a good fit? You're looking for a treasurer, or you're looking for somebody to do your newsletter or your membership list, or you're looking for someone who's a connector to be your recruiting chair. Who do you know that fits that description? Where are they politically? Do your homework. Have a meeting with them. Talk about it. Next slide, Michael. Maybe they haven't seriously considered joining Wilf, but if you gave them a role that was specifically cast for their strength, maybe they'd consider it. So some of those roles could be the treasurer, the secretary. This is the person who effortlessly details the decisions and discussions at meetings. The treasurer, who's the person who, whenever you have lunch, separates the expenses and tells everybody who owes what. The newsletter editor, the person who loves working with publisher or other newsletter software and does graphic design even on little notes that she sends out. The recruiting welcoming chair, this is the person that you know, who knows everybody, who's outgoing and willing to talk to everyone. The supporting cast members could be the person who is the liaison with Wilf US, the contact person who keeps up to date on what's happening and reports at your meeting what National is up to, or the person who always checks in with the Wilf International website and reports on that at your meeting. The person who is your liaison with local allies, who's already in touch with many of Wilf's natural local allies and is happy to keep everyone informed. The Fresno branch made wonderful use of an internship program to take this role. And by doing so, they had these young college students representing Wilf, putting out a much younger face on their organization and using those people to bring news about what their allies were doing and sharing what Wilf was doing with their allies. As a result, the students learned a lot about different types of organizing, different forms of organizing in a community. And Wilf got the benefit of being in many more places than their existing members would have been able to do. How about a coordinator for the branch internships? This person loves working with younger people, maybe a retired teacher, is great at assigning and monitoring work assignments that are fun. You already know people who can fill these roles. Even if they're not in Wilf yet, now you could ask them. We don't just want anybody in Wilf. We want everybody in Wilf, but we specifically want someone with your skills. Next slide, Michael. Make your face-to-face meeting a social one that builds relationships over coffee or drink. You're about to make a very personal ask. You're going to ask people to dedicate their time, their focus, and their energy. Ask them to consider if they could do this one specific task for your branch because they're uniquely skilled and you need them to be on your team. Don't let them say no before they meet with your members and learn more about Wilf. Invite them to a social meet and greet. Don't be afraid to press. The secret is people are flattered to be asked, even if they can't do what you want. And if they can't, and even if they can, ask who else they know that might be able to help. Next slide, people. Hold your public meetings in a public location. So you can plan. You can have your leadership meetings, your planning meetings, your executive committee meetings, your organizing committee meetings, whatever you want to call it, in anybody's house. That's fine. But if you're trying to have a meeting where you're inviting the public to show up, have it in a public location. Not everyone is comfortable meeting for the first time in somebody's home, especially people who are of a different economic class than you, a different cultural background. Coming to someone's house can be off-putting. So let's encourage diversity and invite new people and create an equal footing for everyone. You can use a community center, a library, a coffee shop, a bookstore, a community meeting room, a faith community space, a college campus area, even a trendy restaurant with a meeting room. Choose a place with easy parking that's accessible to the differently abled folks and is not intimidating to people who look different than you do. Next slide. So this is where we're talking about the song from Cheers, where they're really glad you came. You may not know their name yet, but you should be very obviously outgoing and glad they came. This takes training, especially if your branch has not grown very much the last few years. You're comfortable with each other, and it's very easy just to be comfortable with each other. All the best efforts to recruit new people will amount to nothing if they don't feel welcome when they show up. The Japanese have a phrase that talks about preparing the soil for new seedlings. Well, your members are the soil. The people who show up after you've invited them and coerced them or encouraged them or coached them, who actually show up, they're the seedlings. So you have to train deliberately your members for specific welcoming techniques. Do not assume that it will happen naturally. We have a welcoming handout that we can offer you that goes with this PowerPoint. You can train delegated welcomers. And, you know, this is sort of like the Miss Congeniality role, but don't discount it. It's important. The role of welcomers at a meeting or event can make the difference of whether or not they come back, whether they feel they fit in, whether they feel heard. So greet new people as soon as they show up and have them sign in. Thank them for coming. Ask them how they found out about Wilk. During the meeting, call on new people deliberately to introduce themselves and contribute to the conversation. Give them a roadmap. How uncomfortable is it to sit in a meeting where you don't know how anything works or who all the players are, and you're trying to figure it out, and nobody's explaining it to you? So maybe your welcomer is someone who sits with someone new and helps them understand, that's the president over there. She's a retired school teacher. That's the treasurer over there. She used to work for a bank. That's the liaison with National Wealth. In a little while, she's going to tell you what's going on at the national level and what's happening in the branch thus far. Well, this was something that we talked about at the last meeting, but we didn't make a decision. Now we have all the facts, so we're going to vote on it. That insider information lets them feel part of the action, and it doesn't let them sit adrift and feeling like they are lost in the middle of the meeting. As soon as the meeting's over, debrief right away. The designated welcomer should go right away, thank them for coming, hand them a brochure, tell them a little bit, not a lot, about our history, and ask the questions of what they thought about the meeting. How did it go for them? The next day, your branch leader should contact them. Again, thank them for coming. What they thought of the meeting, the branch, the work being planned. Ask what part they can see themselves playing, what skills they could bring to the work. And go over again the benefits of membership, that we are an organization with a consistent and recognizable face and voice for progressive women. We train, enable, and empower women organizers. We want to support the passion that you have. So let's talk about what that is. Next slide, Michael. Michael, thank you. Celebrate and formally welcome new members. soon as somebody joins, give them the tools they need to be successful. I don't know whose phone is ringing, but you should probably mute yourself. As soon as someone joins, give them the tools to be successful and well. So set a face-to-face meeting and give them a new member packet. We now have new member packets available at Wolf US. So even if you don't get them to distribute, if you report your new members quickly to us, we'll make sure they get that. It already has information about the branches, and some of these things are included in that. But you might want to include your own little new member packet, the little contact information for your branch leadership, an organization chart that shows where your branch fits in relation to International and Wolf US. A list of branch projects and roles. What have you done that you're proud of? What are you planning to do? What kinds of things are you involved in right now that they should know about? And who's in charge of them? If they want to get involved, who should they talk to? It should include your meeting schedule for the year with all the events, socials, and meet and greets posted. Print out and hand them the latest e-news and explain how they can subscribe. You could give them a copy of your latest e-newsletter for your branch printed out. An extra brochure to give in case somebody else might be interested in joining. That way they'd have a friend to bring along with them to the meeting. Be sure and give their contact information quickly to Wolf US. And remind them again the day before the date of the next meeting so they don't forget. It's going to take a little while until the habit develops to come to Wolf. Next slide, Michael. Consider assigning a big sister to your new member for the first full year, or at least 6 months. A mentor can make a new member feel more welcome and engaged. They can call and email to remind them of the coming meeting. They might meet outside of meetings to get to know one another better. They could share the history of the branch and the projects you've led in your community and describe what makes Wolf special. Next slide, Michael. Share leadership as soon as possible. So usually a new member joins and we think, how are we going to use them? Well, this is a younger person who knows computers. Let's make them do the membership list or the newsletter. These are two completely soulless jobs that nobody else wants to do. What if instead we gave them a task that inspired them? It's an introduction to what Wolf is all about. Let them represent you at a local event. Or research something that helps organize your next event. Ask them to work with you to plan the agenda for the next meeting. Make sure they have all the information and tools they need to succeed. And check in with them often. Next slide. So this is something we don't do very often. We're so serious because we're dealing with really, really serious issues. But if we aren't having fun, why do it? People stay where they feel appreciated. Your face should light up when you greet one another. They stay where they feel a part of something bigger than themselves. Appreciate every moment you have to work together on movement building. Not everyone gets to change the world or try. They stay where they feel like they're having an impact. Be the servant leader who thinks ahead about how to make every member their most effective self. What tools will they need to do the job you're asking them to do? What encouragement will make them stick with it? How can you celebrate their conclusion of their task by thanking them publicly and announcing what they've contributed? Next slide. Your job is to inspire, enable, and empower your team to plan strategically, share leadership, celebrate success, and moderate failure, and plan for succession. This is not a one-woman show. It can't be a one-woman show. This has to be a sustainable model. Next slide, Michael. So the 7 secrets of successful leadership. Ask people for their help privately, one-on-one. Make it all about the fact that this is a task that is in their, right up their alley. They know how to do it better than anybody else. But thank them publicly. We usually do it the other way around. We ask in a big crowd for volunteers and are surprised when nobody steps forward. And we thank people privately when they show up or deliver for us. It really should work the other way around. Most of the work involves thinking and planning ahead. How best to enable your team. An organizer I worked with early on told me that the most important work happens between meetings. It's the thought process of what you want to accomplish, what you'll need to accomplish that, who would be the best person to ask to do it, what kind of timeline do you need to set to get it done. That all has to happen before your meeting. Now, you can, in the meeting, you can switch it up. You can certainly include the ideas and input of other people about all of those things. But as a leader, you have to have a plan to start with, a jumping off point. Meet as often as you can in person with your members. Pick up the phone instead of emailing whenever possible. Make it feel comfortable and non-threatening and fun to be engaged. Remember that advice about starting with comfort. Start with a T. Start with a discussion about peace. Start with something that people can agree with before you get into the details where they might disagree. Number 7, this work is hard, and everyone brings their own burdens to it. But we have to hold people accountable anyway while we encourage self-care. And we have to say thank you a lot more often than we do. Next slide, Michael.
Mary Beth, that's it.
That's it? Okay. All right, well, I've been kind of having my nose in this presentation, so now I'm going to take a look at the list and ask people if you have questions to start forming them in your mind, if you want to talk about experiences you've had on doing this that worked. I don't really want to hear right now from you about what you did that didn't work. We hear too much of that. So before you ask your question, I'm going to ask if, yes, Mary Bricker Jenkins is here. She wanted to make a quick announcement about the launch of the Poor People's Campaign on Monday. Mary, your mic is open, and thank you for joining us.
Hi, yes, everybody, and I'm sorry that I was late to this because I was on the regular weekly Poor People's Campaign call for partner organizations. And right now, I should say that there are over 100 partner organizations in the United States, as well as a growing number abroad, and we were among the first. So the first announcement I want to make is one that is going to be very special for Mary Beth, and that is, who is along with the Washington, D.C. branch, going to be carrying the Wolf U.S. banner at the opening rally in Washington, D.C. on Monday. The rally, people are being asked to convene at the Zone 9 of the state capitol at 1:30 for a 2 o'clock rally. But the 10 o'clock training is no longer required except for those people who will be participating in nonviolent civil disobedience. They are expecting about 1,000 members at the rally, and about 400 will be doing risking arrest doing nonviolent civil disobedience. So unless you're doing nonviolent civil disobedience at that particular rally in Washington, D.C., on Monday the 14th, the 10 o'clock meeting is no longer required, but you should show up at the Zone 9 of the Capitol at 1:30 for a rally to begin at 2 o'clock. That's at Capitol and First. So I want to thank Mary Beth and the Washington, D.C. branch for representing us at that event. That is going to be the kickoff event. The closing event of this portion of the campaign, this phase of the campaign, will be on June 23rd in Washington, D.C. and around the country. They're asking already for people who will commit to being there on the 23rd. I will be there, Mary Hansen Harrison will be there, and we're looking for others who will be there to represent either the board of Works US, the membership at large, or people's branches. Now, part two of this announcement, and by the way, if you can be there, please send me an email. Doesn't have to be detailed. Just say, I'll be there on the 23rd of June to Wilf at 4, the number 4, PPC, Poor People's Campaign, Wilf4PPC at gmail.com. I am about to send, probably in 2 days when it's when I get more information, report that I have of Wilf U.S. branches that are going to be participating in the Poor People's Campaign in their home communities. And let me just say, just to dispel any misunderstandings about this, it is as important for you to participate in your local community as it is to be in Washington, D.C., or even your state capital. This is the way fundamental change takes place. So please don't let anybody tell you that you're not participating if you can't make it to your state capitol, okay? You are participating, and every little bit helps. So I have reports from Washington, D.C., obviously, Palo Alto Peninsula Branch, San Jose, California, the Maine branches, which will be active in at least 3 cities in Maine, Des Moines, Iowa, Madison, Wisconsin, the Triangle Branch in North Carolina, Santa Cruz, and me in Tennessee. I have not yet had any details from Tucson, Rockford, Monterey, Essex County, Detroit, Michigan, or Sacramento, California, although I know they're participating. And given these numbers, I suspect there are other branches that are participating who have not sent us any details of their participation during this phase, which lasts 40 days beginning next Monday. Please, even if you're just sending out a flyer telling people about the Poor People's Campaign, it is important to state that there is no action that is educational and actionable that is not important in this. We intend to change the conversation in this country about the matters that matter to all of us the most, all of us in the world the most. And once that conversation is changed, we expect that we will be changing structures. That's what we've been doing for over 100 years. Let's keep doing it in every way possible, including in our alliance, our partnership with the Poor People's Campaign. So if anybody has any questions, do whatever it is that you do to get attention, short of taking your clothes off. And
number one on your phone keypad.
Oh, thank you. Okay, that's it. Number one takes your clothes off. All right, so. I knew this was going to be a strip poker game. I told Mary Beth, I told you that we should not combine these two things, but that's okay. So if you have any questions or comments, please press one on your phone now.
I'm looking forward to being able to hold the banner with Catherine Flaherty and Diane Blaze and other members of the Washington, D.C. branch next Monday, this coming Monday, and it should be a pretty exciting kickoff. Okay, we have a few hands up. Let me start with Barbara Nielsen. Your mic is open.
Thanks. I actually thought Betty Traynor from San Francisco was going to have her hand up because she's been trying still to find someone local from the Poor People's Campaign to reach out to very little, with very little success. Mary Beth, do you have any, excuse me, Mary Bricker Jenkins, do you have any further thoughts on that?
If you would shoot me an email, I will immediately contact people in the campaign to get somebody to respond. I know there is a tri-chair in San Francisco, and we need to get them moving. So please send me an email to Wilts, for PTC. And I have been asked by the Poor People's Campaign organizers to let them know if somebody's trying to get in touch and has not received a response. So please send me an email to that effect, and we'll take care of it.
Thank you so much.
Okay, so again, if you have a question or comment, press number one on your phone keypad. I have a question from Joan Goddard.
Hey, Joan.
Joan, are you there? Are you muted? Okay, we'll go next to Eileen Kirkowski.
I'm sorry.
Oh, there she is. There's Joan.
Yeah, sorry. I forgot that I muted it originally. Sigh. Anyway, let's see. I mostly just wanted to say thank you. And that we're looking forward to participating in what we now understand are Teaching Tuesdays, as well as Action Mondays, et cetera, et cetera. The Palo Alto branch has organized a gathering on Tuesday the 15th. So that's when we'll be getting together with them. We're co-sponsoring. And meanwhile, we are putting out lots and lots of flyers with information about not only the program, but about the Poor People's Campaign and talking with people we get a chance to along the way. Thank you.
Okay, I believe that the webpage for the Poor People's Campaign on our website is up. I haven't checked recently, but if it's not up yet, it will be very, very soon. But Mary Bricker Jenkins, could you explain what Joan was talking about Teaching Tuesdays and Taco Wednesdays or whatever, the breakdown goes so that people can begin to envision what their present might look like?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. And Joan always reminds me of something that's incredibly important. If she didn't live in California, I would want to move in with her because she is constantly reminding me of important things. The structure of the campaign is such that every week has a theme, and every Monday is Action Monday, and every Tuesday is, as Joan said, Teaching Tuesdays. There will be materials available, and there will be simulcast broadcasts and webinars to help people hone in on the particular themes of the week. All of this, by the way, is coming out in a newsletter that Mary Beth and Nancy Price and myself put together, and that should be posted tomorrow. So Teaching Tuesdays, Wednesday, I think, is primarily, and I'm not 100% sure of this, is primarily focused on spiritual practices. Thursday is a culture day. So there'll be arts events, music events, performance, all kinds of things available with resources available on the internet that we'll be making available. Nancy Price is serving as our communications person, so she's going to be getting material every Monday, and we'll be posting that as appropriate so that people will know what's going on for that particular week. So thank you, Joan, and thank you, everybody, for allowing me to elaborate on that.
Yeah, it's good to know because it's every week for 40 days, and so if you can't get your act together to do the action Monday the first week or the second week, do it the third. If you want to do your education Tuesday and you can't do it right away, plan it for later. And Mary, how will they let you know what they're doing once they put these actions together?
Everybody should send me whatever they're doing to wolf4ppc@gmail.com, and I will be updating the list of branch activities as I receive information, and I'll be sending that around. And by the way, I just want to say about Teaching Tuesdays that this campaign, we're talking right now about this particular phase that will end on June 23rd, but this is envisioned as a very long-term campaign. And as you well know, and as Mary Beth underscored in her presentation, any action without education, it rings very hollow. That the merger of education and action is essential for any kind of fundamental change, which is the kind of change that we seek in WILF. So those Teaching Tuesdays are going to become increasingly important. And we'll be very eager to hear and to share what branches are doing. And as Mary Beth said, you know, if you can't get yourself together for one particular thing, just choose anything. The consonance of the themes of the campaign and the mission of WILF is so remarkably consonant that, I think I used that word twice, but forgive me, English majors, it's so remarkably consonant that there's really just about anything that we do in any of our programs, any of our activities can be united with a larger movement such as the Poor People's Campaign.
Okay. Eileen Kirkoski, you had your hand up. Your mic is open.
Oh, thank you. Let's see if I'm actually on. Can you hear me?
Yes.
I can. And if your ears are burning today, it's because we were talking about you, Eileen.
I hope it was good.
Oh, it was wonderful. As Mary Beth said, we have to do a face-to-face ask, so I'm going to call you and ask you to be in Washington on the 23rd.
Well, I was planning on going. And there
were Yay!
People, wait. Weren't enough people going? I heard that Mary may not go. She's undecided now, so I'm not so sure anymore. However, I want to address what's been going on. Mary, I thought I connected with you to explain that Boston is going to be doing Monday actions, but I have to admit my computer, which was in the shop, I just got it back 5 o'clock today, may not have been working as efficiently as it should have been. There were some other issues as well. So be sure to know that Boston's in on this at least for 4 or 5 Mondays, okay, and hopefully more of that. And this next comment is a combination of the wonderful presentation Mary Beth did again. For me, it was again because I enjoyed it. The first run in Chicago at the Congress of the National. And hearing it again, I got this name popped into my head, someone who I think might be interested. And I think she would also be interested in attending one of the Mondays. So it's going to be not only a face-to-face coffee, but maybe an action as she is is able. It's all timing and when her work is going to free her up. But
yay!
Perfect. Yay is right. Thank you for the brain, whatever it's called, the brainstorm, the you know, the little bulb that goes out in the top of the head in cartoons. That's what I'm thinking of.
A kick in the brain cells.
Okay, let's do it. It works. So thank you both. And I will send you more information.
I'm not sure what happened to Eileen. Did you have more to say, Eileen? Did you have more to say? We missed your last comment.
No, it's both. I found my thought patterns working on both. Yeah, there's at least two of us to hold the banner that I did have made here with, you know, lots of okays from the supporting group that makes those decisions for our branch. And our group is picky. They like to have a message coming and going. So I got some Tyvek and wrote, Wilf and PPC unite to end, the very same words but not as flashy.
Okay.
On the top back, and then I sew that little strip on the back so that they'll get the message coming and going. How's that?
That's great. And you're not the only ones who have modified the banner. Des Moines also created their own banner, and I think that's just great. I mean, we have to express ourselves in ways that are meaningful to each of us. I talked with Mary H.H. late this afternoon, and she is planning to be in D.C. on the 23rd, but she will not be able to make it on Monday. So we're good on that. No, I didn't receive anything from Boston, but I'm looking forward to receiving something. And if your computer can't send it to me for some reason, then by all means give me a telephone call. My number is posted in a phone booth just off Fulton Square. I'll be glad to give everybody my phone call right now. It's area code 423-402-0442.
What's euro? You're confusing me. What's euro?
Zero. Zero.
Like zero?
423-402-0442. And that's a cell phone that also rings at my home. So you can reach me everywhere for a good time.
Oh, great. And I'll be sure to be naked.
Guys, you're so good.
Okay. Just so we don't get too evil, I know that you're taken and so am I. It's okay. All right. Anything for the movement? Okay.
Cheryl Spencer's got her hand up. Go ahead, Cheryl.
Oh, good, Cheryl.
Good afternoon, Mary. I read, you know, a few days ago about this issue, there'll be webinars and there'll be streaming, and I've been going to the PPC website and their Facebook every day, several times a day, and there's still nothing up there along the way. And then I did manage, with a lot of effort, to watch and listen to the Reverend Barber give his speech sermon last Sunday in the Presbyterian Church in New York. It was an excellent speech.
On militarism,
very little Christianity in it, which suited me. But I wanted to, so I kept, it's on YouTube. Finally, I got through, the church itself was streaming it. They have a YouTube channel. Then I wanted to tell my colleagues about it and have them go listen to it, because they did capture it, but when I went, there was no audio, and there was people making comments underneath that this is now 4 days ago, that the church had managed to capture the video without any audio. So I'm hoping in the meantime that somebody at that church has done something about it, because it really was a marvelous speech. I mean, he actually talked about what's it called, the doctrine of discovery, which
yes.
I, being a British person, knew nothing about, which was apparently the white people's justification for taking land from Native Americans 300
yeah.
years ago.
Yeah.
And he had a lot to say about that and how awful we should all feel about that and what we've done to the Native Americans. So it's not, I mean, it was a very wide-ranging speech. But what bothered me was, you know, the promises of streaming and the promises of materials that are not showing up, because we would love to have them. So that was really my comment. And so if you have an in with the PPC main people, please tell them, you know, that Presbyterian sermon, church sermon, at least 3 days ago, the audio wasn't coming through.
First of all, thank you so much for that. And yes, I it's been so problematic. There are so many people working in the campaign, most of them without any support whatsoever. So things have been extremely bumpy, but are getting better. Now, we have been absolutely promised that the Poor People's Campaign Facebook page, that is the main one, will have the event that will take place on Monday, not necessarily live streamed. It might will be delayed a couple of hours, but that will be available. Each state also has a Facebook page, but they're also very uneven. So the best I can say are two things. One is that thank you and keep trying. And the other is that I will certainly let people in the campaign know that there is a problem. That was an absolutely magnificent, far-ranging talk, as you said, not only moving, but also incredibly inspirational and educational. Yeah, so I will certainly let folks know, and stay tuned and keep trying, and we'll keep trying on our end to make it easier.
Right, two other things. So
yes.
I'm not a member of Facebook, and so every time I go there, I'm faced with this pop-up window that says, join, or, you know, and I'm trying to see around it. So so that's annoying, but if you just kind of persist and just scroll up and down, you'll get to see everything.
Yes.
Now, there is an event on Mother's Day evening that they have now announced. Do you
yes.
know about that in a another church?
Yes.
6 o'clock Sunday. Now, I was a bit disappointed because I'm going to be in D.C.
Yes, and you'll miss it.
And I'm going to be flying home, so I'm going to miss it.
But
you should, and Mary Beth, who I'm going to have a Mother's Day lunch with, without our mothers, she knows about it, so... I do hope our Washington, D.C. people will go to that.
We are planning to. Planning to, sure. Thank you.
Unless it got edited out, that will be in the e-news that will be published tomorrow. Nancy had her hands on it and insisted to Glenn today that it absolutely had to go out tomorrow because apparently he was on vacation. So, but it will go out tomorrow. And yes, that should be in there, the Sunday night event. The other thing is, you know, and this is just a personal riff, I really loathe and despise Facebook, and I was really irritated that the campaign relied so heavily on Facebook. Everything that has come out since the campaign began about Facebook is something that I've been anticipating for years. And I use it on a very, very limited basis. But it is very important to know that you can access any page on Facebook without having a Facebook account. As Cheryl said, just look for the little X in that pop-up window, hit that X, and go on to get what you want to get.
It doesn't always have an X, but... I've discovered it doesn't always have that little X. You can't always close it. Yeah, so that's, and maybe this is my old laptop computer or something, but it is annoying. But you can see past it. I mean, even our own Facebook, the Palo Alto Facebook, suffers from the same. I'm not a member, and I can hardly see behind this damn pop-up window that asks you to log in.
Okay, let's move on.
Yeah, thank you.
Ellen Thomas, this hand is up, and then I'd really like to move on after this. So, Ellen, you have your mic is open.
I just was curious about the 23rd. Is that the 23rd of May in D.C.? I missed that.
23rd of June.
Oh, okay.
23rd of June, yes. And if we can get enough people, who will commit to being there in June, then we can start looking for accommodations, for group accommodations.
Joe Goddard, can you ask your question quickly?
Yes, it's very quick. I just wanted to say that the two-sided banners sounds great, and also next time we're doing banners, or maybe even during this campaign and after, you know, after the 40 days, whatever, be sure to look at Costco's business printing, because we got a wonderful banner for less than $40 delivered to our local Costco. Thank you.
Yeah.
Good deal. Okay.
And it's union.
All right. So I'd like to move back to the presentation. I want to thank members of the DC branch for being on the call. I'm going to be visiting with them the next few days, and I did ask them to pay particular attention to this presentation. So thank you all for joining me. I see Camille and Catherine and Diane and Samina. So thank you for being here. I wanted to say that the East Bay in San Francisco branches took this presentation that I just gave and used it in their planning process to build recruiting into their calendar, and they really tried to incorporate some of the principles that we went over. I'm going to be sending the slides for the PowerPoint out to everyone who was on this call and everyone who's on the One Wolf call list, just so that you might be able to show this to your branch members and get them thinking the way that Eileen's little light bulb went off. They may have ideas that can help you as well. So were there questions about the presentation itself, about the recruiting exercises and advice and ideas that we presented? If you have ideas, please press number 1 on your keypad, your phone keypad right now, number 1. While you're doing that, I'm going to call on Marcia Heath from Santa Cruz, who has her hand up. Marcia, your phone is open. Again, please press number 1 if you have questions or comments about the presentation. Go ahead, Marcia.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Oh, dear. How do I unmute?
How do you unmute?
Yeah, can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you, Marcia.
Oh, okay, good. I just wanted to thank you for that presentation. I thought it was really excellent, and I'm happy that you are sending it out to everybody, and I hope that we can show it to our members. I totally agree with the whole approach, but it can't be done by just one person. And so the idea of showing it to everybody and seeing how we can brainstorm trying to build on some of those points would be very good. So I just want to thank you, because I came in the middle of it and I wasn't sure you were going to send it out, but you just said you will, so thank you.
Very well. Thanks, Marcia. I'm glad that you found it valuable. And again, recruiting is everybody's job. You need a recruiting person who makes it their focus, It would be great to have a committee if you had enough people working on it. But guess what? All of your members are in charge of recruiting. So that's an important thing to keep in mind.
You know, I want to just throw this out to folks in case it works for others. You know, we build a friends list. You know, people sign up and they're not members, and we just add them to the friends list. I should say I do rather than we do because I've been doing it for a while. And I sent out an email that was, the subject was, any chance, ? And in it I said, any chance that you want to become a member? And I've been getting responses. I've gotten about 10 responses so far. And I just was really pleased that that question jogged people to think, yes, I do read these emails that come to me, and I do think what is being done is valuable. And so I just thought I'd let you all know that.
Thanks, Marcia. I appreciate that. I don't see any other questions. I think it's because my presentation must have been so wonderful that there was no room for any questions. Everyone's questions were answered. Woohoo! but if you think of any later, you can email me. I wanted to remind you all that the spring appeal we sent out, and it's going to be in your mailbox as soon as it isn't already. Please dig deep. And as you're reminding your members to renew their dues, please remind them that $15 of that $35 goes to support international wealth. We don't have access to it. We only get $20 of that $35. So please contribute and renew promptly. We depend on your support in so many ways. I was also going to tell you that when we started the presentation, I said that Wolf US is aware of the fact that we haven't really done a sufficient job of supporting our branches in these efforts for recruiting and building capacity. And our board just approved a plan to start working on that a little more. We developed an integrated plan for capacity building at Wealth, which we're naming WINGS. It stands for Wealth Women in Network Growing Stronger. And we're starting with about 6 branches that are in pretty strategically important locations, and or who have been asking repeatedly for help for some time. So we're assigning field organizers among our leadership to work with those specific branches. We're going to be working concurrently on recruiting, programming, and leadership skills training, communication, and fundraising. Not that your branch will be doing fundraising, but as we come out to meet with your branch, we will be doing our own research on donor leads, which we'd be happy if you could contribute to that information. And we'll be calling on donors in your area who are not necessarily yet Wolf donors, but who would be if they knew about us. So that plan is going to be a one-year pilot program, see how it works. If it works well, I hope that we'll be doing it on a consistent basis. Our branches have wonderful women who have been working resolutely and in a very committed way for a long time, and they just need a little more support. And that's what this program is all about. We'll be connecting them to our program committee and issue committee. We'll be coming up with recruiting solutions that we can offer them, plans for meetings, program meetings, Michael will be helping with communication solutions as well. We'll also be doing the fundraising that needs to get done. So we have a very, very busy agenda planned for the next year, and we're really hoping that this is just the start of a lot more support for branches. Barbara Nielsen asked me to say again what the acronym is for WINGS. It's WILF, Women in Network, Growing Stronger. That's pretty much all I have to go over with you. Our next One Wolf call is on Thursday, June 14th. I want to thank you all for joining us. Again, I'll send out the PowerPoint. I hope that you use it a lot. And please stay on for the soapbox for 10 or 15 or 20 minutes. And we'll hear any of your concerns or ideas. If not, we'll talk to you next time. I'll be seeing you folks in D.C. tomorrow, hot dog. And, open all the mics and have everybody say goodnight, Michael. I'll start. Good night, everybody. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. Your mics are all open.
Good night. Thank you so much, Mary Beth.
Bye-bye. Bye now. Bye-bye. In D.C. Bye-bye. Bye, Cheryl. Okay, well, here we are. We have Joan Goddard, Diane Blaze, Lorna Paisley, Ellen Thomas, Jane Doyle, Marcia Heath, Blanca Gerard, and Kelly Esposito. That's who's still on the phone, and if you have something you want to talk about, raise your hand, press number one, tell us what you're thinking. Hey, Marcia, go ahead.
Yeah, I just wanted to remind everybody, I know it's been stated at some point, and I hope we can find a way to really get this out, but Nancy Glock-Grunick has done this amazing job this year. Each month, for 7 months, she's doing solutions for the future we need and how to get it. And we just saw the sixth program last night, and it was really terrific. They all have been excellent. People can go to Future We Need TV, future-we-need.tv, and can see any of the videos. And what it is a half-hour video presentation and then a discussion for another half hour. And these can be used with your groups, with other groups as well. They've covered a lot of ground and with excellent people in the discussions. And I can't say enough about them. We'll have a wrap-up one on June, the second Wednesday in June that evening. But they're all available on YouTube. And so just want to put a plug in for them.
Thank you, Marcia. I keep forgetting to look at those, so thank you for reminding me. Blanca Gerard, my roommate, has her hand up.
Yes, I did. Thank you for that wonderful presentation. I hope I can get my members to read it, but I will try. And I also wanted to say that the Essex County branch will be participating in Trenton on the 14th, which is a Monday, on the steps of Trenton for the Poor People's Campaign. So we are engaged in that.
You should probably let Mary BJ know about it if you haven't already, Blanca. So you're added to her list.
Okay. Yes, I know. Okay. All right. I will email her. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else? Let's see. Jane Doyle, you're on this call, and you're not usually, so tell us how you thought it went.
Well,
mostly I'm going to apologize because I've been very sick all day and was sleeping much of the day and coughing when I wasn't sleeping. I totally forgot. So I only got on at 20 after, and I'm really sorry about that. I was looking forward to it. So I'll just have to wait and see what is sent out and read that.
Okay.
I thought the part I heard sounded good. I just wish nobody wants to be sick. So
I just we hope you feel better.
Well, thanks. Yeah, it's just one of those things that came on, coughing, little temperature.
Mm-hmm.
Probably go away tomorrow, but thanks.
Jane, just a quick thing. Jane, Mary Beth is going to send out the PowerPoint. In addition, something that people could do is the recording is going to also be made available. So someone, theoretically, could go through the PowerPoint while Mary Beth's talking about it.
That sounds really good, and I may need to ask somebody for help to do that. But, yes, I'll definitely pay attention to that. And
we'll send out instructions.
Thank you.
I apologize. Michael asked me to make an announcement, and I just got so involved with the presentation I forgot to. This is the 132nd anniversary of the Santa Clara decision on corporate constitutional rights. It's the famous Santa Clara County versus the Union Pacific Railroad that was not the actual start date for all of the mess, but it's the one that most people point to. It's the one that had the biggest initial input and impact for constitutional rights for corporations. And this was the precedent that they pointed to for Citizens United. And it has really caused a lot of other decisions to be based on it, even though the court decision itself was not the court decision. It was a note that the court clerk wrote in the margins of the decision. So it was really an unethical and illegal decision. But it has certainly caused a great deal of harm to the planet and the democracy since then. Lorna Paisley, you're from the Los Angeles area. How's things going out there, and how did you think the call went? Are you on mute, Lorna?
Oh, I was on my phone, sorry.
Okay, that's okay.
Because I'm trying to, I have a meeting tomorrow night, and I'm trying to clean a little bit while I listen. first of all, let's see, when I saw the PowerPoint, you probably saw I came in late because I've been busy all day, it looked really great. I was like excited, and it like fits in with so many other things. Like I'm doing that popular resistance class now, and it kind of fits in with that, and I'm reading Don't Think of the Elephant in the Room, and it fits in with that. And maybe, hopefully, we're making some ground here, and maybe we can, I don't know, make some changes. We just need changes so bad. And but otherwise, I haven't heard from anybody here in L.A. doing anything. Also know that May 14th is going to be rallies against for net neutrality. And it's like, I mean, how do you pick? I don't know.
Yes.
If you don't mind saying something about that, what Michael just said, the anniversary of, I'm like, can't somebody sue over that or something? I'm just reading about that in the George Lakoff book. I'm like, really? This is how we got ourselves into this mess with some court reporter's note? How does this happen? How can that be?
The court clerk with the CEO of the railroad company, John Bancroft Davis.
Mm-hmm.
That's
so big deal. How does he get to write a note and make it a law? Whoever.
Well,
we go with.
You might imagine that he was well paid to do that, and the
but
court,
still,
the
it's
chief
a note
justice,
in a column.
the Chief Justice at the time with and all of the justices were well bribed by the railroad companies. They were provided annual railroad passes for anywhere in the country. This would be the equivalent of getting their own private jet today. And the Chief Justice not only got his own railroad pass for he and his whole family, but he got his own private, well-appointed railroad car. So the court case was stacked against Santa Clara from the beginning. And this is, you know, this is such a great indication of what's going on right now with people buying their rights and their advantages and their benefits and kind of screwing the rest of us. So,
and just for the record, it was Santa Clara versus Southern Pacific Railroad.
Oh, thank you, Southern Pacific. That's right.
Sorry. May 10th, 1886.
So, yeah, pretty obnoxious. Kelly Esposito of Cape Cod, what did you think about our call?
I thought it was great. Thank you very much. Yeah, I'm kind of new to Wilt, so I thought it really good, and I definitely think I'm going to bring it to the group and give them some suggestions.
Well, great. The Cape Cod branch has a wonderful planning process that they go through, which Elenita Muniz presented on one of our earlier calls, and I hope that we'll cover that kind of planning process during our June meeting. Because, you know, right now, May, June, is the time that your branches should be thinking about planning next year's calendar of the event. And this timing is important to be thinking ahead in that way.
Yeah, we typically do that at the kind of the toward the end of the summer, but yeah, I really think it's really very, very enlightening, and I think it's really important your points about, you know, making people feel welcome, and I think that's really just so important.
It's something we take for granted, and yet I think all of us have experienced going into a situation where we were new and feeling like, well, this is a comfortable group of people who are, you know, they're a little clique, and I don't fit in here, and I don't feel like I'll come back. And we don't mean to express that, but we're so comfortable with each other that it often feels like kind of an old girls club. And we have to just remember to make the extra effort to reach out and embrace people who are new, especially, yeah, especially if they look different than us in any way.
I really appreciated the comments about reaching out to somebody via telephone. I did organizing many, many years ago, and of course now there's all these newfangled ways to do it, and I just stumble around it, you know, so I'm much more comfortable, you know, doing it the old-fashioned way with the telephone and in person.
Well, that peace group that I started in Iowa, you know, the reason that we had so many people who were continually engaged was because between every meeting, which we were having meetings every 2 weeks for a while to get organized. Between every meeting, I tried to call everyone on that list, and I couldn't get to 200 of them. But I would make a note of who I talked to the last month, and I would call the next people on the line, as many as I could get to the following month. And I noticed that whoever I spoke to one-on-one are the people who showed up at the next meeting.
Yeah.
The people who I didn't get to and just sent an email to, you know, they might or might not show up. The people want to feel appreciated and acknowledged and invited. So
It's time consuming, but it's really important.
Yeah. Thank you, Beth.
Anything else people want to talk about tonight? Your PPC plans or...
Mary Beth, I was wondering if Lorna, are you still on the line? I hope. Lorna Paisley?
Lorna?
Hi. I know that it's frustrating to try to get information about the Poor People's Campaign, but I did hear a while ago that Los Angeles area, Southern California, including San Diego, but you're in L.A. Area, last September signed on, you know, before most of us even heard about it. I did do a little check, the Poor People's Campaign, Los Angeles, and there have been some articles in something called the Centennial, the L.A. Centennial, and there are various other listings. So I think you'll find some things if you, yeah, the L.A. Centennial has had a couple of articles. And
so Lorna's off the call, Joan, but I'll give you her email, and if you could send her that information, it would help a lot.
Are you going to send it to me?
Yeah, I will send you. I'll send you her email. It's just
okay,
easy
maybe
to
somebody
type
else
it out.
Has a better.
Hi, come on.
It's Lorna Paisley in L.A.
I asked the question, but I didn't stop for anybody to answer.
Yeah, well, you went on before I could stop. I can send it to you too. I have it. So, are you doing
great.
It?
Okay,
Mary Beth.
Yeah, I'll send it to her.
Okay.
No problem.
Well,
Joan, I also just responded to your other email.
Thank you.
Well, here in New Jersey, there's a thunder and lightning storm raging. We've had two beautiful days here, but it sounds to me like the rain they've been threatening for the last 2 days is finally here. So I think I'm going to suggest that we end the call if nobody has anything else pressing so that I'm not making more Blanca nervous about the electrical storm in her computer. So.
Mary Beth?
Yes?
The call on May 31st, it's a nominating call. Can you specify?
Yeah, the nominating committee is, I think it's a really innovative idea. They're asking people who have led in any part of wealth to be on that call and really just talk about what leadership in wealth looks like and feels like and tastes like and smells like and your experiences and you know what has been fulfilling about it, what's been challenging about it. I think they're trying to get people started to think about what their role might be in Wealth National coming up. We're facing a lot of empty chairs. It's kind of like The Voice, I guess. We're facing a lot of empty chairs in January, and they're needing to have people think more seriously about what leadership could be and how to make it work more effectively and not be quite as demanding. So it's really a good idea, I think, to talk about it and get people thinking about it. So I hope that many of you will join that call. I plan to be on it.
Thank you. Good night, folks.
Good night, everyone. Thank you.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Michael.
Good night.
Thank you very much.
My pleasure.
Yes, thank you, Michael.
Pleasure.
Thank you.